Welcome back to the podcast, everyone. This week, we are joined by Derek Sawyer of RealWear and Lee Garrett of West Base. We're going to be looking at assisted reality in health and safety. The chaps are going to be talking about some of their products and how they can really help workers on the shop floor get the most out of their safety.
We seem to be in an exciting time in health and safety, you know, with the intersection of lots of different technologies. On the event side of things, I know Paul over the Global Series and ourselves are really excited to get back involved with physical congresses so that we can get guys like you in the room to really show us what this technology can do. Lee, I'll start with you, and then Derek, you can probably interject if you've got anything else to add. What excites you about the future of assisted reality and safety?
No, absolutely. So it's really it's productivity, you know, innovation, and it's an exciting change from the norm, and it's really driving that. And I'm sure, you know, Derek's gonna certainly have a few points there to really strengthen that.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, Lee. Innovation often came at a compromise to safety. And that was a real issue for us. It was a real issue when we were designing the device. So what excites me is that when you can innovate, when you can allow people to be more productive, but absolutely make sure that safety is at the core of it. And that was part of RealWear's, that was part of our understanding from day one.
Fantastic stuff. So what would you say are the main problems with most of the assisted reality products on the market? You know, as a layman, they sound like they could help in a number of different ways. But I can also think of a few challenges that some floor workers might have when it comes to the uptake of products like this.
No, absolutely. So, I mean, really, the main problem, it goes back, you know, a few years, really, to when the HNT was first launched. And if we take a look at smart glasses as such, you know, they tend to permanently block your line of view, and they don't really work very well with PPE. And, you know, this is really where, you know, the HNT RealWear have created, and really by design in the first place, have introduced the boom arm. So you have this adjustable boom arm, you know, where you're able to simply line it up. You're able to be compatible with PPE and have that best fit.
Derek, have you got anything to add to that?
No, I mean, it, as you said, from day one, we understood that that there was an issue with the current design. There was an issue in delivering that. There's no point in delivering this. In fact, some of the organisations that work with us, actually, the health and safety exec, the global health and safety execs, were the first people to identify, I want to record incidents, I want to do that. But I want to do that in a device, by the way, that allows me to, you know, if I'm doing a sidewalk, it allows me to move a boom arm around and simply operate without permanently blocking line of sight, etc. And as Lee mentioned, working with PPE, prescription glasses, etc., is critical to a design.
100%. And, you know, the ergonomic aspect is crucial if you're going to get people to actually use this sort of stuff. Can you describe what sets the HMT apart from other AR devices on the market?
Yeah, I can, and probably I'll start with the term AR. There's so much, you know, I say there's confusion. There's not confusion, but we've perhaps introduced an alternative terminology there. The AR of augmented reality has started to be somewhat warped by the term of assisted reality. And RealWear is an assisted reality device. I mean, our device absolutely puts the physical world, you know, digital and physical world first. So we're a wearable but non-immersive visualization of content. So when you're looking at how RealWear operates slightly differently, it's really critical to know that we were never for the consumer market. This isn't a gaming experience which has moved into a heavy industrial experience. This was built from the ground up for heavy industry, for ruggedized use, for environments that were frigid and foreboding environments. In fact, obviously, you know, including ATEX environments where they've got class one, div one, zone one, ATEX use. I mean, we're trying to enable safely some of the most demanding frontline workers in the world. And I think that's what sets us apart from other AR devices, in the fact that we're assisted reality and we're assisted reality first.
Could you really define what the difference between augmented reality and assisted reality is in the safety context?
Yeah, okay. So I'll take a step first. It's non-immersive. So what do we mean by non-immersive? So a good hardware example would be a heads-up display. So a heads-up display that in your line of sight, as we said, we can be moved across. So you can glance at the content, but the goal is the user experience. It isn't to deliver object tracking or any form of immersion. There's no 3D visualization or object overlays that can often be a compromise to safety. And because assisted reality has far less stringent hardware requirements, it actually is able to deliver a positive user experience now, by the way, and over the last year, you know, COVID has seen us needing to implement solutions now, not just for the future. And because of this, it's less stringent upon its demands on the hardware. The battery life is therefore a little bit better. You can do a full shift battery life. And they're often easier for organizations to adopt. So that's where we've come at that.
So you say the HMT is PPE compatible and a safety diverse, safety first device, as you've reiterated there. But what does that actually look like in reality?
I mean, you know, compatibility wise, the HMT by design, you know, to Derek's point, you know, previously it was never designed for the consumer space. It's always been for the heavy industry. And from day one, you know, RealWear have fully understood that PPE was a standard requirement. It was never an option. And, you know, there's some points there really that are very clear in the sense that, you know, RealWear have a great support portfolio with, you know, the majority of helmets, bump caps, you know, PPE. You know, you've got the use of work bands, face mask, gloves. You know, the list goes on, and it's not only a wearable, but it also continues to work seamlessly, you know, with those PPE accessories.
Glancing over Lee's shoulder and my shoulder, you can see hard hat, bump caps, etc., safety glasses, etc. Again, you know, let's not forget, we're not just there to enable first and frontline workers. We're there to protect them.
And on the first and frontline workers, how do you actually get them to use the products? We've touched on a little bit, and part of it is to do with the design. Is part of it education as well?
Yeah, it is. It's education and adoption. It's essentially a very new technology. We've got many different stories. The first thing is it's a compelling design of a device. The first thing is to make sure the right applications are available that can enable them to do their job. There's over 200 applications voice enabled to allow first and frontline workers to free their hands to do their job. But we've also got to understand the criticality. Sometimes it's a humorous kind of story that we see. We've seen first and frontline workers told to move from paper to tablets and the reluctance. And why the reluctance? Well, I've got to wear gloves. I've got to wear protective stuff. We saw one instance of a first line, an organization saying, no, we're going to mandate that you use that. We're going to mandate. So they picked up the tablets that they had to use and they put the pads on top of them and used it as a pad just to work on. And so that's about the human nature of adoption. What really happened in that instance was that when the first and frontline workers understood that actually they could do their job safely with their hands free, and the job backed itself up into the system. At the end of the day, there was no, shall we say, period of paperwork and understanding and that. So one of the things is to also flatter to what they want to do. They want to do the job, and this allows them to do that.
So one of the benefits you've touched on there is the hands-free element. And if you want to get people to adopt it, part of it is through education, part of it's also through education of the benefits of using the technology. What are the key benefits of using this technology in health and safety?
So the key point really is freeing your hands. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's going to come across a couple of times from Derek and I, because, you know, it's such a key strong area. You know, making sure that our users are safe, that the end users have the right experience and that access to information. And, you know, really what we're trying to do is make sure that that job is completed right the first time and safely. You know, and if you kind of imagine, if we create kind of a bit of a story here, if you imagine, you know, your job is maintaining a wind farm, you know, it's going to be important to have the right documentation, you know, the right tools for carrying out the work. You're going to need the best safety harnesses for working at height. So this is really about making sure from a health and safety perspective that, you know, someone's working at height, keeping our infrastructure alive, that, you know, they don't need to take their hands off to reach for mobile technology, that mobile phone, that tablet, you know, whilst also handling themselves at height. So what RealWear have done is, you know, they've enabled a solution. We've enabled workers to have access to information at their fingertips, but also, most importantly, keeping them safe whilst working on site.
Part of these devices, they do assist with the advent of digital transformation in the workplace, you know, outside of health and safety. How have RealWear devices really helped with that digital transformation while still upholding health and safety practices? Does the HMT make the process easier?
Yeah, it does. We can talk about a couple of examples, and I'm a believer that those examples actually help. We look at the use case. Let's look at the roadside assistance, that sort of stuff. The first priority for roadside assistance is the safety of the driver and the safety of the person providing assistance. So, what do we have as a consideration? Do they have the right knowledge? Okay, electric cars are a real challenge, by the way. They're a very, very different beast on the roadside to maintain and to fix all of the time, considering safety is a challenge. So imagine if you had a display where you could glance down into to make sure that the right information was to hand. But also imagine that you've got a flashlight there, making sure that you're always visible, that you could connect a boroscope to be able to have a look into certain different parts without having to lie underneath the vehicle on the side of a busy road. This is all about being able to protect, and also the goal to start off with in that instance was to make sure that the vehicle can continue the journey and whatever else. So it's an improved customer experience, but it's done with innovation and safety in mind. And, you know, electric cars are part of the real challenge from a roadside perspective as well.
I think as health and safety professionals, we can get caught up in the health and safety aspect of our workers. Part of the trouble is, and the part of the trouble that a lot of our audience have when trying to implement new safety practices, such as the ones offered by RealWear, is getting that buy-in from the corporate level. And, you know, part of the way that you do this is through putting things in a cost perspective. So from an operational perspective, how can RealWear devices help businesses manage costs?
Again, probably the example, I'll use the example of Goodyear. When COVID hit, Goodyear understood that all of the time when they went to maintain one of their manufacturing units, that when the call came in, that they had to send their experts to go and help with the maintenance, with the observation there. And COVID meant that that wasn't possible. So they needed to find an approach. They needed to find a solution very quickly. Using Microsoft Teams in this instance and RealWear, what they realized is that they didn't have to travel to the unit to allow the expert. COVID taught us that the smartest person in the room is often the only person in the room. So we had to enable that only person in the room. What they realized when they did that is that not only could they do that without travel, but they could also fix much, much quicker. They didn't have to arrange to travel in that period. So they found that they could deliver that solution. There was an improvement in the meantime to fix. But then they realized in not having to travel, they would save thousands of pounds every single time. And they talk eloquently about ROI in a day. That's a return on investment in a day, just by changing behavior, by the way. And that, you know, it is a lot of time, it's about changing an embedded behavior, okay? Reduce the carbon footprint, operate safely, but ROI can come in a day.
So for safety professionals and organizations that are really ready to start implementing real-world solutions, how do you address the skills gap within an organization?
So, no, it's a really good point. So, I mean, from a West-based IO perspective, and, you know, working in collaboration with RealWare, you know, it's the channel that we get involved. And what we're doing here is we want to enable our users to develop that right solution for their requirements. And really, it's about enabling for frictionless adoption of that technology. So we've got a broad range of channel partners, and we can help to partner you with the right supplier, you know, for that use case, really, and that industry. And this is the best place to start. It's by selecting a partner who really understands your requirements.
So what's the future of RealWare hands-free devices?
It's exciting, by the way, as we start to talk about, you know, if we look at the utopia for some of our industrial customers, the utopia has always been data visualization, IoT, bringing to life those IoT sensors. Imagine having a device that the return on investment was quite simple and early. But then you could enable staff to train and learn on the job using digital inputs, and then take that all the way to the utopia of data visualization and being able to trigger and use that. And we've got some use cases across the globe of people who have innovated quickly and have already got to that stage. So it's a really exciting future.
Yeah, I think we all know what the end goal is. We all know what it looks like. It's just a case of how do we get there? And yeah, I think we've covered some great areas there, guys. And the case studies you've shown of people who are already there in many cases are really exciting. And like you say, it's a really exciting time in health and safety. Where can people go to learn more about the product?
So Westbase, I've created a channel. We've got a fully enabled channel, as I've mentioned, you know, previously, and that's really built to support our end users. And so you know, everyone that's really interested in understanding the solution, or, you know, just being able to have some education around, you know, best use and use cases, you know, come and speak to us. You know, we can introduce you to the right partner, you know, for the right use case, and also for that industry that's been selected. So I think really, you know, the best way of engaging would be to get in touch over email. You know, and use our email to interact, which is hello@westbase.io, or, you know, simply go to our website at westbase.io, and, you know, a member of the team and myself, you know, we'd love to speak to you and help you.
Fantastic. So Lee, I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't ask you to sport one of those wonderful helmets behind you, just so the users could have a look at it. Would you mind?
So what we have here is a HMT1. So this is completely kitted out to just a standard PPE hard hat. So we have, you know, accessory clips which enable it. You know, that said, the RealWare HMT one that I'm wearing here, you know, it can be worn as well completely without any PPE. You've got that full flexibility. Mm. Here's the boom arm that we were discussing. So you're able to, you know, line that up. You still have your full line of vision in front. And, you know, the best thing here is we've got my hands free.
100%. Derek, I see you've also sported some gear.
Absolutely. I was just showing the capability of, you know, safety glasses. There's a choice. Okay. So there's a choice of PPE. A lot of our automotive customers wear bump caps, etc. So what we've tried to do is try to accommodate everything. As you saw, the look that I was sporting there, that's just very different than the look that Lee was sporting there. Just what I'd show that as well.
Brilliant stuff, guys. Well, to any of the listeners and the users at home, if you want to get hold of Lee or Derek and chat about any of the products, like you say, get in touch via email. And hats off to you guys, quite literally, because I think you're doing some fantastic stuff and really innovating in the safety field. So thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.